Open to Ephesians chapter 2. And if you have a marker, put it there in Ephesians. Because we'll read and then we'll leave there and go a few other places and then we'll come back to Ephesians. But in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1 it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And we'll stop right there. Now look at verse 8 again. Now this is a popular verse that you use when you witness to people. You know, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves," so on and so forth. We go through and we use this, but look at it very closely. He says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, where he says, "For by grace are ye saved," now we're so familiar with this that we really miss what Paul's trying to get across here. Because it sounds so simple. He says, "For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Okay? So we tell people, look, you need Jesus Christ. You can't earn your salvation. You can't do something good enough to cause this to happen. It's all by faith. You've got to trust in Jesus Christ and believe in Him as your Lord and Savior. So we share this, but there's something interesting about this verse. He says, "For by grace are you saved." What's interesting is what he doesn't say in here. Now leave your marker here in Ephesians and turn over to John chapter 3. That will be our next stop. And as we go through this passage, these few short verses we're going to read in John chapter 3, pay very close attention to what's being said in this. Now, keep in mind what Paul wrote over there in Ephesians. He said, "For by grace are ye saved." All right, now, let's look in this in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now we'll stop right there. Now you'll notice what Jesus said in verse 3. Nicodemus had come to him and he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Paul wrote and said, for by grace are you saved through faith. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you don't have to respond, but I would just ask you this question. In a manner of speaking, does it look like Paul and Jesus are saying the same thing? Well, now, most people, folks that I've encountered, and from how I was raised, the answer would be yes. Paul and Jesus are saying the same thing. But they aren't. Notice that Jesus did not say, except a man be saved, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith. Jesus said, except a man be born again. Now, you can go home and look at these phrases, the word saved, and look up the phrase born again in the Greek, and they are totally opposite. No. They're not opposite. They do not mean the same thing. They're not opposite. They do not mean the same thing. They don't mean the same thing. Jesus said, except a man be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, here's where we've made a mistake in the body of Christ. We've stood up and we've taught that Paul and Jesus were saying the same thing in this, and they weren't. And what we've also done is we have taken the terms born again and saved, and we've taught them as though they are exactly the same, that they mean the same thing. And they don't. They do not mean the same thing at all. Now, let me explain. The phrase born again literally means a second birth, meaning you've had a physical birth, kind of what Jesus was talking about in verse 5. He says you've had a physical birth, but you also have to have a spiritual birth. You must be born again. You must experience a second birth other than the birth you've already experienced here in the natural. You must be born again. The word saved comes from the word sozo or sozoed, if you wanted to keep it past tense. But in essence, that word is saying material, temporal deliverance from sin, or better put, sin nature. Physical, mental / emotional. Financial, spiritual deliverance from the power of sin, or the power of the sin nature. Now, that's what the word saved means. The word born again means a second birth. The word born again does not mean saved. The word born again means a second birth. The word saved means what it says, saved, deliverance from the sin nature and from the power of the sin nature, from financial, material, or physical, mental, emotional, spiritual deliverance from the power of sin. That's saved. Now look in this in verse 3, or in John chapter 3. Nicodemus goes to Jesus and he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now it's interesting. 4 years I read this. Then one day, God kind of collars me and he says, you know, look at it again. I'm looking at it again. Nicodemus didn't ask anything about the kingdom of God now, did he? He says, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered the question that was coming up. The question that was coming up was this. We know, Jesus, that you're a man of God, you're a teacher, and God is with you. That we don't deny. There's a bunch of us. I mean, some of these other Pharisees, they're coming against you. Some of these other Jews, they're coming against you. But there's a group of us here. We know that you are of God. And we know. We know that God is with you, or you couldn't do these kinds of miracles. The question that he did not get to ask that Jesus answered was this: how is it possible for a man to get into this kind of position where God can be with him in the same way that God is with you? And Jesus said, I'll tell you how, Nicodemus. You must be born again. You must be born again. He says, Nicodemus, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Then later on, he talks about entering into the kingdom of God. Now, this is interesting, because when Jesus made this statement to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's saying, number one, Nicodemus, if you want to know how it is that God can be with a man the way that God is with me, because remember, when Nicodemus was looking at Jesus, he just saw a man. There was no halo. There weren't, angel wings coming out Jesus' back and angels all around him singing the hallelujah chorus everywhere he went. He was just a man. I mean, that's what Nicodemus saw. He saw a man standing there. And so he's asking him this from the perspective, in other words, I'm not even so sure that Nicodemus at this point is 100% convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. I mean, he may have been, he may not have been, but one thing he did know is that God is with this man in a way that we've never seen God be with a man before. Now, what we want to know, Jesus, and I'm representing this closet group over here, what we want to know is how can God be with a man the way God is with you? Or, how can we get to the point to where God can be with us in the same way that God is with you? And Jesus said, you must be born again. Because if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Or you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this is another interesting thing that Jesus is revealing here in these words that sometimes we just kind of gloss over and don't grab a hold of. When Jesus said this, Nicodemus is talking about, we know God is with you. We see these miracles. We see this power demonstrated. And we don't understand how this is possible. And Jesus says, you must be born again. Because until you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Or in other words, everything that I am doing, Nicodemus, is relative to the operation of the kingdom of God. I am operating out of the kingdom of God. The way that I am doing things is the way things are done in the kingdom of God. And if you aren't born again, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. You can't see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, God can't be with you in the same way that God is with me. Now, turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. All right, he says that God in verse 12, the Father, has made us meet or able or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's something that's taken place according to what the Father has done. Something has happened that's caused us, in his eyes, according to his rules and his standards, to be qualified to be inheritors or to receive an inheritance. All right? Then he says that the Father, in verse 13, has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And, verse 14, it is in his dear Son that we have redemption through the blood of his dear Son, the forgiveness of sins. Verses 12 and verse 13, if you want to get real, like fine tooth, razor edge clear or on this, they're talking in essence about two separate things. In verse 12, he's saying God's made us able, the Father has made us able or qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance that he has determined should be given to the saints in light. Also, or in addition to this, or let me remind you of something else that the Father has done. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. In other words, verse 13 is telling us what has qualified us for verse 12, the inheritance. He's saying in verse 12 that the Father has done something that's caused us to be qualified to receive the inheritance that has been predetermined for the saints in light. Well, when you talk about the saints in light, he's talking about the people that are born again. Over there in John, where it says that, you know, it talks about how that Jesus, you know, he had the light, the life in him is the light of men. And he's talking about those of us who have been born again. And we have that life on the inside of us. We are those saints in light, or the people in that light, or in that nature, have that life, that born again life. And he says, look, giving thanks unto the Father who has caused us or has determined that we are now qualified to be partakers, not simply recipients, but partakers. In other words, it's not just a matter of there is an inheritance that God has said you can have. It's a matter of an inheritance that God has said you can have and participate with now. This is important because right now in this life, each one of us, go to mom and dad, and mom and dad sits down with all the kids and say, now kids, we got the will drawn out. And this is what the will says. You know, Bobby, you get this, and Susie, you get that, and Johnny, you get this. Well, Bobby, Susie, and Johnny, they know what their inheritance is because it's already written down. The problem is they don't get it until mom and dad die. So here's this inheritance just sitting there. I mean, every day they go visit mom and dad, they can see part of this inheritance, the house or the car or jewelry or pictures or whatever it would be. And they know that there are bank accounts and, you know, whatever the different situations might be. It could be a great inheritance. It could be a very little inheritance. But regardless of what it is, until mommy and daddy die, Johnny, Bobby, and Susie, they don't get the inheritance. God in this verse is saying, I, the Father, I have done something that has qualified you not just to receive an inheritance, but to be a participant in that inheritance now, right now. In other words, you don't have to wait till some sweet morning in the sweet by and by. He's saying right now, you can be a partaker. You're qualified to be a partaker of this inheritance. Not just have it written down that you get it. Not just have it listed as far as what you're going to get. He's saying, no, the Father has qualified you right now, this very moment, to be a recipient of and participant with an inheritance. Praise God. Now, on earth. And in verse 13, he's telling you how. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let me put it like this, kind of paraphrase it in a way, or restate it. Verse 12 is talking about your salvation. Verses 13 and 14 are talking about born again. Now, keep your finger here and look over in Hebrews chapter 9. And look at verse 11. It says, but Christ, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And if you look in chapter 10, verse 4, it says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. All right, now back up in chapter 9. And in verse 13 it says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh." Now, what he's trying to get across to them is this. Under the law, they had certain animal sacrifices that could be given, offered. Now, when these animal sacrifices were offered, this blood would make an atonement for the acts of sin in the flesh. In other words, once they had committed a sin, and they would take this animal and they would go to the priest and go through all of the process outlined back there. You can read it in Leviticus and so forth. This animal is offered, the blood is spilled and shed and offered, and this, and they go through all of that. Well, once that takes place, they can't be held accountable then for that sin anymore. Because the blood of that animal has atoned for the act of that sin, but it didn't change the sin nature. So it was a temporary relief from the act of a sin that a person had committed. And he's saying here, listen guys, you know, these people went and they offered all of these blood sacrifices, all of these animals, and that blood was good enough to make up for the act of the sin they had committed in the flesh, but it couldn't change the nature that produced the acts. And he's saying, but Jesus' blood, now that's a different story. It's not just a matter of His blood being able to deal with the act. He said His blood has dealt with the nature that produced the act. He says, man, you come in contact with the blood. And this is the wild thing about this. You didn't offer that blood. See, under the law, if you were the one that committed the sin, you had to go offer that animal. I mean, mommy and daddy couldn't do it for you. You had to take the little lamb or the little goat or whatever it would be. You had to do this. But now, Jesus, it tells you right in here, Jesus offered Himself. He offered Himself and His own blood. You didn't even have to do it. But you get to benefit from what it produced. And He says, listen, you can offer animals all you want. That only dealt with the act. But there's a blood that will deal with the nature. And He said, when you go to Jesus Christ and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, then what happens is this. His blood becomes the eternal blood, the perfect blood for you. See, it's already the perfect blood, the eternal blood. It's already that way. But it doesn't become that way for you personally until you enter into that relationship with Him. See, I mean, it's out there and it's available to anybody. But until you go to Him and say, Jesus, I want to be born again, that blood cannot have an effect upon your life personally. See, but the moment that you do that, the blood of Jesus Christ, it deals with those acts. But man, it goes beyond that. I mean, it deals with the nature on the inside of you that produced those acts. He says, now you don't even have a nature of sin in your spirit. Your spirit is no longer sin nature spirit, but it's a nature of God Himself. Now, look back over in Colossians. He says in verse 13 that the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, how could He do that? He tells you in verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now look at the process here. In verse 12, He tells you that He's done something that's qualified you to have an inheritance, to be a partaker of inheritance right now. You don't have to wait till somebody else has died. The one who died to give that to you has already died. And so God has made you meet, has qualified you to be a partaker, a recipient of and partaker with an inheritance right now. Then in the next verse, 13, He begins to tell you how this happened. How you were qualified for that. He says you've been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Then He tells you how you got translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. He says it's by the power of His Son's blood. By Jesus, you have been redeemed. You have been purchased away from the power of darkness and bought into The kingdom of His Son. So verse 12, He's telling you, you've got an inheritance and you're qualified to exercise those rights now. While you're alive on this planet, He has qualified you. And the reason you're qualified is because you've been translated into the kingdom where that inheritance exists. And the reason you got translated into the kingdom where that inheritance exists is because you got born again. See, God didn't have to make it this way. He didn't have to say, well, there's going to be this grand inheritance and there's going to be all these things that you can participate with now on earth. He could have just said, well, I'm going to set up the rules so that the blood of Jesus Christ just purges the sin nature. Deals with the acts, but then purges the sin nature. But from that point on, you know, guys, you're still on your own. And you're still going to have to bring offerings and sacrifices if you want to see healings and blessings and all of this other. Now, He could have done that. You got a new nature, but everything else still comes according to this other stuff. And He says, I'm not going to do it that way. What I'm going to do is establish the fact that My Son's blood is going to be the redemptive factor in your life so that when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you're not only cleansed from a sin nature, you not only receive a new nature, but at the same time, you are going to be translated out of the power of darkness and into His kingdom. And not only are you going to be translated into His kingdom, but right along with that, I'm going to take the inheritance and I'm going to put it into the kingdom now. So that the moment you're translated into it, you have access to all of that inheritance. Now, part of that inheritance includes a glorified body. Now, we're waiting for that part of it to manifest. And part of that inheritance includes actually being able to be in heaven. All right, we're still waiting for that part of it, too. But see, the rest of it, as far as our life on earth, what it takes to live here on planet earth, all of that inheritance, it is ours now. Because we have a new nature, we've entered into the kingdom, and He has said the inheritance is a part of the kingdom. Being born again, having that new nature, is what qualifies us to have the inheritance. Simply having the new nature is not the inheritance. All right, now stay with me now. Simply having the new nature, that's just getting born again. But God has established rules that go beyond just a change of nature. He has said there's a kingdom and there is an inheritance. And I love you so much, I'm not going to stop with just a change of nature. You get the whole ball of wax right now. You get it all. When Jesus said, Nicodemus goes to Jesus and he says, we know, Rabbi, teacher, esteemed teacher, we know that God is with you because nobody could do these kinds of miracles unless God was with him. And before he could even continue to ask his question, Jesus cut him off and said, unless you're born again, unless you have a change of nature, you cannot even get into the kingdom out of which these miracles are manifesting. So he was telling him a whole lot of stuff. He's saying, God has determined that you can have a new nature. He has also determined that you can be translated into a new kingdom. And he has also determined that once this has happened, you're qualified to operate out of that inheritance. And part of that inheritance is his power flowing through you to produce these miracles. And boy, Nicodemus struggled with that. He struggled with the born again part. He didn't bring up the kingdom part or the miracles part. He couldn't get past the born again part. And so Jesus had to stop right there. He couldn't teach him about the kingdom. He couldn't teach him about God being with him. Jesus had to stop right there and deal with the born again part. And that's as far as he could go with Nicodemus at that moment. Now, look back over in Ephesians. Chapter 2. Right back where we had started. In verse 8, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you sozoed through faith. Now remember, we've already established that being born again and being saved, it's not, those aren't identical terms. Being born again is the change of nature. Being saved is what comes with that changed nature. God says, you got a new nature? I'm giving you salvation too. Let me put it another way. God says, you've got a new nature? I'm going to give you the salvation of the kingdom. Everything that goes along with that inheritance. Your salvation, being born again takes you into salvation. Being born again is just a change of nature. That's all being born again is a change of nature. It's a removal of the guilt and the responsibility for the acts of sin, and it is a removal of the nature that produced those acts of sin, and it causes you then to have a new nature. That's what born again is. Having a second birth, having a spiritual birth. That's what born again is. But God has predetermined that not only can you be born again and have a nature that is no longer a sin nature, but you can have a nature of me, my nature. That is what gets you into heaven. The Lamb's Book of Life. You have to have that life. It doesn't matter if you live according to your inheritance one day on this planet Earth. That's not what gets you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is whether or not you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Whether or not you are born again. That's what qualifies you to get into heaven. But God says, I'm going to give you more than just a new nature. I am going to give you the salvation or the inheritance that comes with being in the kingdom of my Son. So when we get born again, we have a change of nature. At that moment, we are translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In the kingdom of God's dear Son is our salvation. Our material and temporal deliverance from the sin nature and from the power of that sin nature to control and dominate our physical body, our mind, our peace, our spirit, our finances. I mean, it's a whole, it's the everything. It's whatever you can think of, whatever it takes to live on planet Earth. That is our inheritance. That is our salvation. That's what we have been redeemed into, purchased out of the sin nature and the power of darkness and delivered or translated into that kingdom where all of those things exist. And then Paul here in Ephesians, if you look here in verse 8, he's not saying, for by grace are you born again through faith. He's going beyond just being born again. He says it's not just a matter of a change of nature. It's a matter of an entire inheritance that's been given to you from God Himself. For by grace, the power of God's grace, released from His throne and extended to you. It is that grace that has made available to you not just a change of nature, but also an entire inheritance. For by grace are you totally and completely delivered through faith. What that means is this. Healing is yours. It's yours. Through faith. Deliverance from financial problems, it is yours now through faith. Walking in the peace of God, it is yours. That is your inheritance, your salvation, that's part of it now through faith. For by grace has salvation, your inheritance, been delivered unto you, and it is appropriated and manifested in your life through faith. See? Now, if you're not operating by faith, how can we expect that these things, our inheritance, our salvation, I'm born again. That got me to my salvation. I now have it. It's mine. I mean, God has. I mean, look at this 12th verse again. Oh, wait, we're past that. over there in Colossians, where he said he's made us meet to be partakers. He has qualified us. Get this. God up in heaven has looked at you and he said, well, hey, you're born again. The blood of Jesus has just cleansed you. You're so sparkling clean. Look at that. You've got my nature on the inside of you. You know what? I qualify you for salvation, for your inheritance. You're qualified for all of this. Here, take. That's a lot. It's yours. You see that manifested in your life in the same way you saw your new nature manifested in your life. You put your faith in my son Jesus Christ to be born again. For by my grace, put this in your life. It is through faith you appropriate your salvation into your life to become more than just promises in my book, but manifested realities on a day-by-day basis. See? So therefore, if I'm not operating by faith, the only thing I can hope for is that God looks down upon me and says, you know, you are so special. I don't think you need to operate by faith. I know I said the just shall live by faith. I know I said that without faith it's impossible to please me. But I'm going to make an exception for you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home. Don't listen to the tapes. You don't have to do that. You don't even have to watch TBN. Of course, in some cases, I'm sure God probably says that anyway. Anyhow. Go ahead and watch HBO. Go ahead and watch Gilligan's Island. Gunsmoke. Bewitched. I don't care. Play video games. Do whatever you want. Get yourself wrapped up in your softball and your basketball and your kids. Get them wrapped up in everything. I mean, you just do whatever you want. Because I am going to move sovereignly in your life and produce all of these things on a continual basis. And faith isn't going to play a part. Now, that sounds so dumb, doesn't it? But you know what? There's so many of us that live like that now, don't we? And we come up in prayer lines. Pastor, would you please pray for me? Visiting evangelist, would you please pray for me that, summa summa, blah, blah, and on, and all these different things that we throw out. And if we think about it, I would say maybe 99% of what we ask for in healing lines, it's already our inheritance. God has already qualified us to have those things manifested in our lives. And he says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. Well, if that's the case, then I need to find out, what's it going to take then for me to be able to use my faith to appropriate my salvation, my inheritance? Well, he tells you that too. He says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And he tells you, you build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. I mean, bottom line, that is what God says in his word. So see, people that come up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me that I would have more faith to do such and such? I can't impart faith. I wish I could. Honestly, wish I could. I wish I could pray for people and, man, you would have water walking faith the moment I lay hands on you. But guys, I can't do that. The only thing that I can do is just point you to the Word of God where it says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's all I can do is show you these things. And God's told us how it can work. It's in here. Amen. See? And for me and for everyone else in the body of Christ, I mean, what it really comes down to when we don't see our salvation, our inheritance, manifesting in our lives. I mean, we really can't blame God because he's told us how we can do this, how we can see. It comes down to faith. It really comes down to a lower level of faith operating in our lives than what it's going to take to see the manifestation of that part of our inheritance. If my inheritance is deliverance in the area of finances, so that I can have all the money that I need to fulfill what God's called me to do. I didn't say all the money I want to take, 8-month vacations all over planet Earth. Are you with me? I'm talking about the money to do what God's called me to do. That is part of my inheritance and part of my salvation. Now, if that's true, and it is, God says, I appropriate that by faith. So now, if I'm still struggling in that area, or in a physical area, or whatever it would be, if I'm still struggling, then my faith has not been built up to the point to overcome that struggle, to dominate it, so that my inheritance and my salvation will manifest in that area that I want to see changed. Because by grace, I'm saved through faith. By grace, I see the manifestation of my deliverance through faith. So that puts the onus on me, doesn't it? I can't blame you. I can't blame God. And I can't blame the devil. I can't. Look over in Colossians again. I'll show you this real quickly. Colossians chapter 1, something we just read. He says, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. What does it not say? It does not say that the power of darkness has ceased to exist. He has delivered us from the existing power of darkness. That means darkness still has power. I don't believe that, Brother Martin. Well, if it weren't true, then how in the world could Satan devour anybody? Because the Bible says he seeks whom he may devour. But if you don't have the power to devour, well, that sounds cool. If you don't have the power to devour, if you don't have the power to devour, why seek? You see what I'm saying? I mean, if my lips have been glued shut and I don't have any teeth, I seriously doubt that I'm going to go over here to Golden Corral after church and slap on the feed bag. I don't have the power to devour. He says we've been delivered out of the power of darkness. Now, you know, we talk about how that, that Jesus has defeated the devil. Well, he's defeated, but there's still power there. You understand? There's still, if you don't believe it, look in the book of Revelation, all the stuff that goes on, things that are happening now, the power is still out there. But the devil, see, through Jesus Christ, what he did, what Jesus, you know, it talks about, he's made a show of them openly. He overpowered the devil. Now get this. He overpowered. There's power here, all right? The devil, darkness, there's power there. But Jesus overpowered. Meaning Jesus operated by more power than the devil has to operate by. He overpowered. Over. There is power that is over the power of darkness. That's what we get when we get born again. The Bible talks about, we're overcomers and all this kind of stuff. We are overpowered when it comes to the power of darkness. Because we've been translated out of the power of darkness. Delivered out of that and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Wherein there is more power than the power of the devil. It's like we were down here living in the realm of this kind of power. But when we got born again, we were translated into overpower. So the power of the devil, I mean, it's still out there, but we've got overpower. That's what we've got. And he says, you've got an inheritance, salvation. You've got a new nature that qualified you for this translation into the kingdom. And I, God, have predetermined that the fullness of your inheritance is going to exist in that kingdom. So the moment you get born again, you're qualified to be translated into the kingdom and to be a participant with all of that inheritance, your entire salvation, and you appropriate it through faith. That means faith is more powerful than the power of darkness. So if I want to see these things manifest in my life, I've got to walk by faith, not by sight. There is not a choice. I have to. Because if I'm in the middle of the Sahara Desert and nobody is there to pray for me, it doesn't matter. I still have the Word. I still have my new nature. I still have the Holy Spirit. I still have faith. I can do it. Don't get all upset on this, but I don't need you, because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. See? And in that perspective, you don't need me. You can do all things through Christ with strength. You don't need me doing everything for you. I will do everything I possibly can to help you out. I will do that. And yes, we do understand that we do have an equal reciprocal need for each other. But when it comes to me seeing manifested in my life the fullness of my salvation and my inheritance, I have the Word. I have faith. Yeah. I have the ability to appropriate my salvation in my life independent of what anybody else believes. That's why I could be in a room full of people that do not believe in healing, do not believe in this faith stuff, do not believe in it. All they believe in is get born again and go to heaven. And in spite of all of that, I can still receive for myself.
That's right.
Jesus went to his hometown, couldn't do any great miracles because of their unbelief. Wasn't his.
That's right.
Because of their unbelief. See?
That's right.
But he could sure receive for himself.
Yeah.
Praise God. Here I am. The same thing for me. It's the same thing for all of us. If you want to see your life change, if you want to see things become different in your life, in your body, listen, I'm going to make an open confession to you. I mean, it's like a self-indictment, but I'm still standing here as of this moment, right here, as of this day, I still have contact lenses in my eyes. Now, you can say what you want. You can believe however you want. I mean, that's between you and God, but I believe that included in my inheritance is the healing of my eyes. I believe that. And what it's going to take is me to bust my chops and do what's necessary to get my faith built up to the point where I can appropriate my inheritance as it relates to my vision. And that hasn't happened as of this particular moment. But I say it is. Because my faith comes by hearing God's word. And my faith, I build myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I release that faith by speaking to my eyes and telling them, "You're healed, vision. Eyes, you're healed." I don't care what that eye doctor says. And I thank God for the eye doctor, because he gives me what's necessary to function in my automobile from day to day until the manifestation. But I say in the name of Jesus Christ, nearsightedness has no power in the kingdom wherein I now live. And I say I overpower nearsightedness. See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Build myself up by praying in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For by grace I have been saved. And it is through my faith that I appropriate and see the manifestation of my inheritance in my life.
Glory
to God. Go ahead and stand.